This is For the Record, program number 1118. Update on the coronavirus experience. That I'm improvising the title for this show. This is being done live on March 5th of the year 2020. And I am feeling overwhelmed with the information coming in. I am several shows behind the descriptions, and I will get caught up. I don't think I will be recording a show next week. I will record tomorrow. Tons of information coming in. Please do keep up with the SpitfireList.com website and comments that are coming in. Very quickly, much of this program will be focusing on an article in the globalresearch.com. I believe that title of the weather, the domain of the website, Global Research, from yesterday, March 4th. And I'm also going to be introducing some material that article accesses Chinese media, which in turn are sourcing a Japanese television station, Asahi TV, and also a Taiwanese scientist. And I cannot verify either of the claims. I also wonder about this report in connection with something we spoke about in For the Record 1111 and 1112. J. Kyle Bass, the Dallas-based investor who was reported in the spring of last year to be asymmetrically invested with regard to China. He had some $143 million invested in such a way as if China, so that if China's economy tanks, his investments go up. He has alleged that he is no longer involved in Chinese equities, which may very well be the case. It does not mean that one could not profit tremendously from this event. J. Kyle Bass made his fortune betting against the subprime mortgage in 2008, and he has been networking both with Steve Bannon, who was at the epicenter of the anti-China push, and also a guy named Guo Wenwei, an exiled Chinese billionaire and fierce opponent of the Chinese government. J. Kyle Bass claimed in a tweet that the coronavirus escaped from a Chinese weapons lab, or that a Chinese agents had gotten this from a Canadian laboratory. And when rebuked on the veracity of those claims, he said he would not retract the tweet because he was doing this to counteract what the Chinese media were saying about the virus. I have also noted, although I forgot to include it in the description for the shows, the State Department has cracked down on Chinese media and is, I've forgotten what exactly that particular crackdown is, but basically their staffs are going to be limited in the U.S. and the State Department again is formally, bringing down the portcullis on the Chinese media. I have heard many people claiming that the Chinese media have spoken about the virus as coming from the U.S. or have voiced suspicions in that regard. I have not seen anything to date. There is some material here, both from the Global Daily, which is a Chinese publication, of the Global Times, excuse me, and also the People's Daily. Those allegations, which we will report, again, are sourcing material from a Japanese television broadcast and from a Taiwanese presentation that was given by a scientist. I cannot speak as to the veracity of either claim, but with regard both to J. Kyle Bass's statement that he felt he had to counteract what the Chinese media were saying, and the State Department crackdown on Chinese media. I suspect this has that has much to do with what we will be talking about. We are also going to balance the discussion predicated on some Chinese media, and again, I do not have the scientific or, frankly, the linguistic ability to back this up past a point. I've been very suspicious about the outbreak of this virus, and indeed, take a look. There have been some 100,000 cases ballpark worldwide, maybe 3,000, 4,000 deaths, and the global economy is tanking, schools are closing, everything is going completely to hell, including perhaps your 401k, no? And the evidence, I think, suggests that this is related to the anti-China full court press, which we have spoken about in a number of programs, and that has intensified with the outbreak of the coronavirus. And indeed, the Chinese economy and many others have tanked as well. Now, many things that we're going to get into very quickly. Something that we talked about in our last program was a South Korean cult that appears to be the source of the outbreak of that virus in South Korea. That organization is called Shunji. I may be mispronouncing that. Shinchonji. New York Times of February 21st of 2020 by Cho Sang-hun. Shadowy Church is at center of coronavirus outbreak in South Korea. The presumption has been that they brought that back from China where they do missionary work. I noted the following. Jung-un Kim, director of the Korea Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the authorities were investigating reports that Shunji had operations in Hubei, the Chinese province that includes Wuhan, where the virus emerged. The South Korean news agency NEWSIS, N-E-W-S-I-S, reported on Friday that Shinchenji had opened a church in Wuhan last year, and that references to it had been removed from the church's website. Church officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Well, again, I wondered about the possibility. Obviously, the South Korean authorities and many others are viewing the church as the vehicle for the introduction of the virus into South Korea. I have wondered about the possibility that it may have been a vehicle for the introduction of at least one type of virus or of coronavirus into Wuhan. I have also wondered about the possibility of overlap between the Shunjongji, probably mispronouncing that, and the Unification Church. There is indeed considerable degrees of overlap. I have a food for thought post about this from a Tumblr blog called How Well Do You Know Your Moon on Tumblr.com. Rival Korean Messiah builds workshop next to Unification Church. Chung Pyongyang Center benchmarking the Unification Church. Now this blog notes the close geographical proximity between one of the major churches of Shincheonji and the property of the Unification Church. That is in, that picture is in the Food for Thought post. Also, there has been networking between Lee Man-hee and people connected with the Unification Church, such as Mr. Park Bo-hee or Bo-hee Park. I've also seen it. He also, that is Lee Man-hee, has attended performances of the Little Angels Arts Group, a Moon subsidiary organization. Most importantly, from that blog, Kim Kun-nam, one of the two authors of Shintan, S-H-I-N-T-A-N, which can be called the first doctrine of Shincheonji, is from the Unification Church. One more time, Kim Kun-nam, one of the two authors of Shintan, can be called the first doctrine of Shincheonji, is from the Unification Church. Kim also served as a lecturer in the Unification Church. It is no exaggeration to say that Shin Jong-ji doctrine developed on the basis of what Kim made. Again, a loony and one of the doctrinal pillars, so to speak, of Shin Jong-ji. The preparations by Lee Man-hee, who's quite old, to have his wife divinated or ordained as divine, and succeeding him are very similar to the way Moon's widow succeeded him, and indeed the ceremonial dress of the late Reverend Moon and his wife, and that of Lee Man-hee and his wife are quite similar as well. Again, view the Food for Thought posts, a post about that, and I will have links in the description for this show as well. I also wondered about the possibility that the current U.S. ambassador to South Korea, the former chief of operations for the U.S. Navy Pacific Command, might have some links to the intel community, perhaps or Naval Intelligence or CIA. He was, that is to say, Harry B. Harris, formerly Admiral Harry B. Harris, now ambassador, formerly, by the way, ambassador to Australia, where his anti-China bent, so to speak, drew a fair amount of attention. The aforementioned Admiral Harris was at one point commandant of Guantanamo, the Camp Delta, I believe it's called, a Camp X-Ray at Guantanamo. And while he was the commandant there, three inmates allegedly committed suicide. Critics have alleged that they may have died under torture. The report was heavily redacted. Whatever the case may be vis-a-vis how they passed away. The point being that Commandant of Guantanamo would indicate an intelligence community involvement on behalf of Admiral Harris. So again, the suspicion here is that he is linked with the intelligence community, either perhaps the Office of Naval Intelligence and or CIA. He was head of the Pacific Command for the Navy. He is a very powerful guy, and I got a hunch he would have wanted to continue exercising that kind of power. Now, I have noted in the connection with the outbreak that Thai doctors reported considerable success in treating the coronavirus using a drug cocktail involving Oseltamivir, which is also Tamiflu, by the way, and a couple of antivirals used to treat HIV. One 71-year-old woman who was very ill recovered in 48 hours and tested negative for the virus. This has been labeled, if not fake news, suspect, perhaps because retweets have labeled this as a cure. It is not a, quote, cure, unquote, proven as such by pharmaceutical testing. It does, however, appear to be a very effective treatment under the circumstances, and I think given the orgy, not only the orgiastic coverage of this outbreak, but the way in which it is virtually shutting down our civilization. Schools are closing, workplaces are closing, the stock markets are tumbling, the global economy is tumbling. And given all of this, one might think that something which offers very promising therapeutic possibilities for treating the virus would get greater discussion than it has had. I have noted that a prominent Bay Area pharmaceutical company, Gilead Sciences, or Gilead, G-I-L-E-A-D, Pharmaceuticals, has had a lot of publicity. There are three different articles in the New York Times Western Edition in the last month or so about Gilead. Another article on Yahoo News. Coronavirus vaccine could add millions in value to this one stock. It talks about something I mentioned, which is how much Gilead stands to make in connection with this. Now, I have noted that Gilead was not only one of the major holdings of Renaissance Technologies, the high-yielding hedge fund of Robert Mercer, Steve Bannon's financial angel at Cambridge Analytica and Breitbart, but also I have noted the following. I wondered about who Gilead might be positioned, might have on its board of directors. Again, this company stands to make a whole lot of money, and if you were invested in Gilead, and particularly if you knew this thing was going to happen, the virus outbreak in advance, you could make one hell of a lot of money. From the Wikipedia entry, forgot to check that, on Gilead Sciences, their board of directors stands out. The founder of this was a guy who, while in the Philippines as a Henry Luce scholar, contracted dengue fever, an incurable viral affliction, and so he became interested, understandably, in viral-caused diseases, so he founded this firm and got plenty of money to do it. Some interesting people on the board. From the Wikipedia entry, Reardon recruited Donald Rumsfeld to join the board of directors in 1988, followed by Ben O. C. Schmidt Sr., Gordon Moore, and George P. Schultz. Both Rumsfeld and Schultz, of course, were members not only George Schultz, a member of Richard Nixon's cabinet, and Secretary of State under Ronald Reagan. Donald Rumsfeld was defense secretary under Gerald Ford, and then became a member of the board of directors of Gilead Sciences, and from 1997 to 2001 he was chairman of the board, then left to become the secretary of defense under George W. Bush. Ben O. C. Schmidt Sr., interestingly enough, was described in his Wikipedia entry, which is linked, as one of the prime movers on Richard Nixon's war on cancer, as we looked at in our long series of programs on AIDS, and as we revisited in For the Record 1115, accessing material from 686. It was Richard Nixon's war on cancer that was the driving event in the establishment of the National Cancer Institute's Special Viral Cancer Research Project at Fort Detrick, where it was handled by Litton Biomedics, a wholly owned biotechnology subsidiary of major defense contractor Litton Industries. And there is a considerable evidence that that was, in effect, a biological warfare front. So it is interesting to me to see the lot of the tremendous coverage for one of the primary holdings of Renaissance Technologies of Robert Mercer, and a lot of coverage of this. Donald Rumsfeld was chairman of their board of directors. Ben O. C. Schmidt, who helped launch Richard Nixon's war on cancer, the sort of the raison d'etre for the SCVP at Fort Detrick. And we've also got George Schultz, all of which proves nothing, but this is a very well-connected firm. And again, a lot of people stand to make a lot of money off of this. Noting the tremendous drops in the stock market, if, for the sake of argument, someone knew in advance that this was going to happen, they could make a heck of a lot of money. And that somebody may have, again, the material we spoke about, not only about Robert Mercer, but in particular J. Kyle Bass, his networking and apparent co-investing with Tommy Hicks Jr., co-chairman of the Republican National Committee, and someone who is deeply involved with the interagency government networks at the core of the anti-China effort that is to be looked at very closely. I will also note the following. Now, this outbreak, the earliest case we have heard about in this country was at the beginning of December of last year. Again, the timing of this event with the Chinese Lunar New Year holiday, and in the context of all of the other anti-China efforts or plays that I have spoken about, I find this more than a little suspicious. Something else, and this is discussed both in the Global Research document here. And again, this Soros's Japanese television material and also Taiwanese scientific presentation, not being able to speak either language and also not obviously being a molecular biologist or virologist. I can't speak yay or nay for the actual research. I do find it very interesting that the discussion we're going to touch on has been in the Chinese media. I am sure that is why J. Kyle Bass issued the tweet that he tweeted and made the statement about it, that he felt he had to counteract what Chinese media was saying about the virus. I had not seen anything about that until yesterday. I would also note the following. This is from Heather Mungillo from the Frederick News Post from Frederick, Maryland, from August 2nd of 2019, last year. Fort Detrick lab shut down after failed safety inspection. All research halted indefinitely, reads in part. And again, this is the beginning of August of last year. All research at a Fort Detrick laboratory that handles high-level disease-causing materials such as Ebola is on hold indefinitely after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found the organization failed to meet biosafety standards. No infectious pathogens or disease-causing material have been found outside authorized areas at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. The CDC inspected the Military Research Institute in June, and inspectors found several areas of concern in standard operating procedures which are in place to protect workers in biosafety level 3 and 4 laboratories, spokeswoman Corrie van der Linden confirmed in an email Friday. The CDC sent a cease and desist order in July, after U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or USAMRIID, received the order from the CDC, its registration with the Federal Select Agent Program, which oversees disease-causing material use and possession, was suspended. That suspension effectively halted all biological select agents and toxin research at USAMRIID, van der Linden said in her email. Something to take note of, and we will come back to this, if not tomorrow, in another future show. In our last program, we spoke about various experiments to weaponize or make more communicable, in particular communicable via respiratory activity of various viruses, including avian flu virus. Note the following from the Scientist magazine of November 16th of 2015 by Jeff Oxt, AKST. Lab-made coronavirus triggers debate. Ralph Barrick, or Barrick, B-A-R-I-C, an infectious disease researcher at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill last week, November 9th, published a study on his team's efforts to engineer a virus with the surface protein of the SHCO14 coronavirus found in horseshoe bats in China and the backbone of one that causes human-like severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, in mice. The hybrid virus could infect human airway cells and cause disease in mice, according to the team's results, which were published in Nature Medicine. The results demonstrate the ability of the SHCO14 surface protein to bind and infect cells. Now, a lot of people, and we'll come back to this in future programs, many people have criticized experiments like that. And that, again, basically making a bat-like coronavirus more communicable to human beings, infecting human lung tissue and apparently mice as well. Many professionals in the field have criticized these kinds of experiments as basically dangerous. I wonder about the rationale for engaging in things like this. There was a piece of verbal chicanery that was extant in connection with biological warfare research. Proponents of doing that would justify doing it saying this was defensive research, in other words, protecting against a possible attack. There is no difference between offensive and defensive biological warfare research. If you are researching how we beasties, either bacteria or viruses, infect human beings or animals or plants and cause pathology, you are investigating that pathology. The difference between offensive and defensive is basically non-existent. And I wonder about Fort Detrick being shut down by the CDC in August of last year, the beginning of August. That is very significant. Again, that's from the Frederick News, actually, Frederick News Post, that's from Frederick, Maryland, of August 2nd of 2019. Now, again, in connection with the State Department's crackdown on Chinese media, and in connection with J. Kyle Bass's statements that he was attempting to counteract what China was saying about this, I offer the following. Now, again, I do not speak Chinese or Japanese, and so the information here is not something I can vet past a point. And I'm also obviously neither a microbiologist nor a virologist. Nonetheless, the sourcing by both the Global Times, a Chinese media outlet, and the People's Daily, another Chinese media outlet, is to Asahi TV and to a Taiwanese scientific presentation. On the surface, it would be difficult to see either a Japanese television news program or a Taiwanese scientist basically carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party or their government. For that reason, I find this more compelling than I otherwise would if it stood alone. Again, I cannot speak for the accuracy of the scientific information presented here, but in connection with the State Department crackdown on the Chinese media and J. Kyle Bass's curious statements, I do think this is worth going into. Also note that, and this is a long article, an article from the UNS Review, from the opposite end of the ideological spectrum, from the Chinese Communist Party. This is a right-wing, very right-wing source Mr. UNS. But in any event, I will have that at greater length. I'll probably get to begin this at the end of this show, but this is called Bats, Gene Editing, and Bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. One more time. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak by Whitney Webb with two B's, January 30th of 2020. It's a long article. I will also note that it alleges that the Project for a New American Century was talking about the importance of developing genetically engineered bioweapons that would affect one group or another. That had long been a focal point of biological warfare research. Now, from Global Research of March 4th of 2020, this is by Larry Romanoff, R-O-M-A-N-O-F-F, China's coronavirus, a shocking update. Did the virus originate in the U.S.? And the article begins, the Western media quickly took the stage and laid out the official narrative for the outbreak of the new coronavirus, which appeared to have begun in China, claiming it to have originated with animals at a wet market in Wuhan. In fact, the origin was for a long time unknown, but it appears likely now, according to Chinese and Japanese reports, that the virus originated elsewhere from multiple locations, but began to spread widely only after being introduced to the market. By the way, parenthetically, we're going to talk, apparently as of today, there have been two viral strains identified in China. Although most people get a mild respiratory infection, there have been some similarities in some people infected with the, drum roll fanfare please, the 1918 influenza outbreak, as we noted in the For the Record program number 1117. In 1997, USAMRIID scientists had isolated some of the, or retrieved some of the genome of that deadly influenza virus. As we will see in future programs, as of 2005, that virus had been genetically recreated. And some observers are noting that some of the people infected by this virus are apparently, their immune systems are overreacting and they are succumbing, much like victims of the 1918 flu. And continuing with this article, more to the point, it appears that the virus did not originate in China and, according to reports in Japanese and other media, may have originated in the U.S. Next section, Chinese researchers conclude the virus originated outside of China. After collecting samples of the genome in China, medical researchers first conclusively demonstrated that the virus did not originate at the seafood market, but had multiple unidentified sources, after which it was exposed to the seafood market from where it spread everywhere. According to the Global Times, and by the way, viruses of this kind had been observed in the Wuhan area, apparently coming from bats, more about that later. According to the Global Times, and again, that is a Chinese media outlet and one of the things sanctioned by the Department of State, and I suspect this has much to do with the statements enigmatic or puzzling to me at the time by J. Kyle Bass. According to the Global Times, a new study by Chinese researchers indicates the novel coronavirus may have begun human-to-human transmission in late November from a place other than the Hunan seafood market in, or the Wuhan seafood market in Wuhan. The study published on China XIV, a Chinese open repository for scientific researchers, reveals the new coronavirus was introduced to the seafood market from another location or locations and then spread rapidly from the market due to the large number of close contacts. The findings were the result of analyses of the genome data, sources of infection, and the route of spread of variations of the novel coronavirus collected throughout China. The study believes that patient zero transmitted the virus to workers or sellers at the Wuhan seafood market, the crowded market easily facilitating further transmission of the virus to buyers, which caused a wider spread in early December of 2019. This from the Global Times of February 22nd of 2020. Chinese medical authorities and intelligence agencies, unquote, then conducted a rapid and wide-ranging search for the origin of the virus, collecting 100 samples of the genome from 12 different countries on four continents, identifying all the varieties and mutations. During this research, they determined the virus outbreak had begun much earlier, probably in November, shortly after the Wuhan military games. And I'm going to have to do some research on those. I have not heard of the World Military Games, which they talk about. I know nothing about that. This is the first time I've ever encountered the term. One more time. Continuing, I should say. They then came to the same independent conclusions as the Japanese researchers, that the virus did not begin in China but was introduced there from the outside. China's top respiratory specialist Zhang Nanshan said on January 27th, quote, though the COVID-19 was first discovered in China, it does not mean that it originated from China. Then it is quoting, but that is Chinese for it originated someplace else in another country. This, of course, raises questions as to the actual location of origin. If the authorities pursued their analysis through 100 genome samples from 12 countries, they must have had a compelling reason to be searching for the original source outside China. This would explain why there was such difficulty in locating and identifying a patient zero. The next section, Japanese media, that is Asahi TV. The coronavirus may have originated in the U.S. In February of 2020, the Japanese Asahi News Report print and TV claimed the coronavirus originated in the U.S. and not in China. Again, I don't think major Japanese media could be seen as carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. One more time. In February of 2020, the Japanese Asahi News Report print and TV claimed the coronavirus originated in the U.S., not in China, and that some or many of the 14,000 American deaths attributed to influenza may have in fact resulted from the coronavirus. A report from a Japanese TV station disclosing a suspicion that some of those Americans may have unknowingly contracted the coronavirus has gone viral on Chinese social media, bad pun, stoking fears and speculations in China that the novel coronavirus may have originated in the U.S. The report by TV Asahi Corporation of Japan suggested that the U.S. government may have failed to grasp how rampant the virus has gone on U.S. soil. And I would ask the question, does that have something to do with the CDC shutting down Fort Detrick in August of last year? Continuing. However, it is unknown whether Americans who have already died of the influenza had contracted the coronavirus as reported by TV Asahi. And that was reported from the People's Daily English Language Edition of February 23rd of 2020. Again, I do not speak Chinese. That is a Chinese media outlet. I don't speak Japanese either. On February 14th, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, by the way, who shut down Fort Detrick at the beginning of August of last year, said they will begin to test individuals with influenza-like illness for the novel coronaviruses, from the novel coronavirus at public health labs in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and New York City. The Asahi TV network presented scientific documentation for their claims, raising the issue that no one would know the cause of death because the U.S. either neglected to test or failed to release the results. Japan avoided the questions of natural versus man-made and accidental versus deliberate, simply stating that the virus outbreak may first have occurred in the U.S. The Western Internet appears to have been scrubbed of this information, but the Chinese media still reference it. These claims stirred up a hornet's nest not only in Japan but in China, immediately going viral on Chinese social media, especially since the military World Games were held in Wuhan in October, and it had already been widely discussed that the virus could have been transmitted at that time from a foreign source. Perhaps the U.S. delegates brought the coronavirus to Wuhan and some mutation occurred to the virus, making it more deadly and contagious and causing a widespread outbreak this year. That began from the People's Daily English Language Edition, February 23rd, 2020. That is a Chinese government media outlet. And again, I do not speak Chinese. I have never heard of the Military World Games. I'm going to have to do research on this. I just came across this article yesterday. So this and the staggering article from the UNS Review, I believe his name is Frederick Ons, a very right-wing U.S. source. There is considerable resonance between these two. Again, this is a report largely based on Chinese media, but accessing Japanese media. And then a Taiwanese TV news program featured a scientist. And again, I don't think Taiwan would be carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party either. One more time. Or continuing, I should say. Xin Yi, an international relations professor at Shanghai's Fudan University, stated that global virologists, quote, including the intelligence agencies, unquote, were tracking the origin of the virus. Also of interest, the Chinese government did not shut the door on this. The news report stated, quote, netizens are encouraged to actively partake in discussions, but preferably in a rational fashion, unquote. In China, that is meaningful. If the reports were rubbish, the government would clearly state that and tell people not to spread false rumors. Taiwan, the next section, I think this is arguably the most important part of this story, again, by Larry Romanoff in the Global Research from yesterday, March 4th of 2020. Taiwan virologist suggests the coronavirus originated in the U.S. Then, Taiwan ran a TV news program on February 27th that presented diagrams and flowcharts suggesting the coronavirus originated in the U.S. Below is a rough translation, summary, and analysis of selected content of that newscast. The man in the video is a top virologist and pharmacologist who performed a long and detailed search for the source of the virus. He spends the first part of the video explaining the various haplotypes, that's H-A-P-L-O-T-Y-P-E-S, varieties, if you will, and explains how they are related to each other, how one must have come before another, and how one type derived from another. He explains this is merely elementary science and nothing to do with geopolitical issues, describing how, just as with numbers in order, 3 must always follow 2. One of his main points is that the pipe infecting Taiwan exists only in Australia and the U.S., and since Taiwan was not infected by Australians, the infection in Taiwan could only have come from the U.S. I do not understand this. I don't see why that could not have come from Australia. This may, however, this is translated from Chinese. That may be a problem in translation. However, the fact that there, I'll let the information speak for itself. The basic logic is that the geographical location with the greatest diversity of virus strains must be the original source, because a single strain cannot emerge from nothing. He demonstrated that only the U.S. has all the 5 known strains of the virus, while Wuhan and most of China have only 1, as do Taiwan and South Korea. By the way, as of today, this was yesterday, they have identified 2 apparently in China. He demonstrated that only the U.S. has all the 5 known strains of the virus, while Wuhan and most of China have only 1, as do Taiwan and South Korea. Taiwan and Vietnam, Singapore and England, Belgium and Germany. One more time, because this is all a run-on sentence. He demonstrated that only the U.S. has all the five known strains of the virus, while Wuhan and most of China have only one, as do Taiwan and South Korea, Thailand and Vietnam, Singapore and England, Belgium and Germany, constituting a thesis that the haplotypes in other nations may have originated in the U.S. Korea and Taiwan have a different haplotype of the virus than China, perhaps more infective, but much less deadly, which would account for a death rate only one-third that of China. Neither Iran nor Italy were included in the above tests, but both countries have now deciphered the locally prevalent genome and have declared that of different varieties from those in China, declared them of different varieties from those in China, which means they did not originate in China, but were of necessity introduced from another source. It is worth noting that the variety in Italy has approximately the same fatality rate as that of China, three times as great as other nations, while the haplotype in Iran appears to be the deadliest with a fatality rate between 10 and 25%. Due to the enormous amount of Western media coverage focused on China, much of the world believes the coronavirus spread to all other nations from China, but this now appears to have been proven wrong. With about 50 nations scattered throughout the world having identified at least one case at the time of writing, it would be very interesting to examine virus samples from each of these nations to determine their location of origin and the worldwide sources and patterns of spread. The virologist further stated that the U.S. has recently had more than 200 pulmonary fibrosis cases that resulted in death due to patients' inability to breathe, but whose conditions and symptoms could not be explained by pulmonary fibrosis. He said he wrote articles about the U.S. health authorities. He said he wrote articles informing the U.S. health authorities to consider seriously those deaths as resulting from the coronavirus, but they responded by blaming the deaths on e-cigarettes, then silenced further discussion. The Taiwanese doctor then stated the virus outbreak began earlier than assumed, saying, quote, "We must look to September of 2019. Fort Detrick was shut down by the CDC at the beginning of August, a month before that. Continuing, he stated the case in September of 2019 where some Japanese traveled to Hawaii and returned home infected, people who had never been to China. This was 2 months prior to the infections in China and just after the CDC suddenly and totally shut down the Fort Detrick bioweapons lab, claiming the facilities were insufficient to prevent loss of pathogens. He said he personally investigated those cases very carefully, as did the Japanese virologists who came to the same conclusion. This might indicate the coronavirus had already spread in the U.S., but where the symptoms were being officially attributed to other diseases and thus possibly masked. The prominent Chinese news website Wangqiu related one case in the U.S. where a woman's relative was told by physicians he died of the flu, but where the death certificate listed the coronavirus as the cause of death. On February 26th, ABC News affiliate KJCT8 News Network reported that a woman recently told the media that her sister died from coronavirus infection. Montrose, Colorado resident Almeta, A-L-M-E-T-A, Stone said, quote, "They, the medical staff, kept us informed that it was the flu, and when I got the death certificate, there was a coronavirus in the cause of death," unquote. We cannot ascertain the number of such cases in the U.S., but since the CDC apparently has no reliable test kits and is conducting little or no testing for the virus, There may be others. That, of course, is changing as things go. Just for information, the article goes on. In the past 2 years, during the trade war, China has suffered several pandemics. February 15, 2018, H7N4 bird flu sickened at least 1,600 people in China and killed more than 600. Many chickens killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. June 2018, H7N9 bird flu. Many chickens killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. August 2018, outbreak of African swine flu. Same strain as Russia from Georgia. Millions of pigs killed. China needs to purchase U.S. pork products. May 24, 2019. Massive infestation of armyworms in 14 province-level regions in China, which destroy most food crops, quickly spread to more than 8,500 hectares of China's grain production. They produce astonishing numbers of eggs. China needs to purchase U.S. agricultural products, corn, and soybeans. December of 2019, coronavirus appearance puts China's economy on hold. January of 2020, China is hit by a highly pathogenic strain of bird flu in Hunan province. Many chickens died, many others killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. The standard adage is that bad luck happens in threes, not sixes. And then there is the following note for readers. Note for readers, please click the share buttons above or below for this article. Email us, blah, 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 blah. And Larry Romanoff is a retired management consultant and businessman. He has held senior executive positions in international consulting firms and owned an international import-export business. He has been a visiting professor at Shanghai's Fudan University, presenting case studies in international affairs to senior EMBA classes. And again, this article, let me find the title again, from Global Research from yesterday, China's Coronavirus, a Shocking Update. Did the virus originate in the U.S.? And that began from yesterday. That's a Global Research, I think it's .com, but you can certainly find that easily enough. And again, at the beginning of August, the CDC shut down Fort Detrick. And I would note that the bird flu has been weaponized, and we talked about a number of experiments in For the Record program number 1117, in which the bird flu was weaponized. Also noting that the virus, the coronavirus, is spreading more like the flu than the previous SARS and MERS viruses. We will not have time. This is a very long article, some 14 pages in length. And that, again, relied largely on Chinese media, but the main material sourced was from a major Japanese television network and from a Taiwanese television news presentation that apparently is now available online. And I don't think either Japan or Taiwan would be carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. And sure as bloody hell, the UNS Review is not going to do that. This is a right-wing, a real right-wing American media source. However, there is that old saying, even a blind pig finds an acorn once in a while. I know next to nothing about this other than its reputation nor the individual. This is a long article, though. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. This is by Whitney Webb, WEBB, January 30th of 2020. Just going to read the beginning because we're almost out of time. And Belladonna, by the way, is going to be making a welcome appearance in her old time slot here, 7 to 10 p.m. on Thursday. Again, from the very right-wing Uns review. Certainly not carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. DARPA, that's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. DARPA recently spent millions on research involving bats and coronaviruses, as well as gene editing bioweapons prior to the recent coronavirus outbreak. Now, strategic allies, unquote, of the agency have been chosen to develop a genetic material-based vaccine to halt the potential epidemic. It begins, and again, long article, won't have time to cover it. In recent weeks, concern over the emergence of a novel coronavirus in China has grown exponentially as media, experts, and government officials around the world have openly worried that this new disease has the potential to develop into a global pandemic. As it comes on January 30th, our civilization is basically shutting down. Schools are closing, workplaces are closing, conferences are closing, equities markets are tanking, the global economy is tanking. Basically, everything is going completely to F in hell. So, yeah. Yes, indeed. Continuing. As concerns about the future of the ongoing outbreak have grown, so too have the number of theories speculating about the outbreak's origin, many of which blame a variety of state actors and or controversial billionaires. This has inevitably led to efforts to clamp down on, quote, misinformation, unquote, related to the coronavirus outbreak from both mainstream media outlets and major social media platforms. However, while many of these theories are clearly speculative, there is also verifiable evidence regarding the recent interest of one controversial U.S. government agency in novel coronaviruses, specifically those transmitted from bats to humans. That agency, the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such research in 2018, and some of these Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China and resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. That is all we have time for. This concludes For the Record 1118, being recorded on March 5th of the year 2020. My name is Dave Emery. Have fun.